It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown!
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible!
Listen to me, I'm older and I'm wise.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is gonna be huge.
I believe this is gonna be our finest hour.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Take it with it.
It's an encore performance of Getting Jiggy With It. We are broadcasting live at the Indy 500 Fan Fest out here at Electric Works. We're actually outside. They've got us right along the main drag going through here, and you can walk right up and get your picture taken with one of the Indy 500 cars.
Yeah.
And then as you walk on down, you get a chance to see the BorgWarner Trophy, which... It does give you chills to look at that trophy and think the history that it has had with all those faces that are on the trophy, and they're very protective of it. So
yeah.
You're not going to touch it. I can tell you that. That's that's white glove care. That's like Stanley Cup care, the trophy. I wonder if that guy, Tommy, as Tommy Schegler's with us today, by the way, as our co-host, but I wonder if the guy who's there with the trophy, if it's like... Who's the guy in the NHL?
Oh, yeah.
They've got a trophy.
Lamp.
He's done it for years, and it's like every time you see the trophy, you see him right there with it.
Yes. Yeah. There's actually a couple guys, but he's the main. Yeah, I know which guy you're talking about. You know what's interesting about the BorgWarner is that it's way bigger than you think.
It is big.
It's a big trophy.
Yeah. I mean, it goes from your feet to over your head. I mean, it is a big trophy.
Yeah. It's
which we can see it actually from right here. But now as you arrive off Broadway and come in the alley here, you're going to actually come by us.
Yeah.
And look at there.
Oh, man.
We've got the Indy 500 Corvette.
Just pulling right up.
And
official vehicle.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And
I got the name. Is it Phil Pritchard? Or Howie Barrow?
No, I think it's Phil Pritchard.
Yeah, I think it's Phil Pritchard.
Phil Pritchard.
You know what's funny is that now when you try to Google things about the Stanley Cup, those silly cups that everybody has come up.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not as easy to find information about the trophy anymore.
Yeah.
Looking for the trophy.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. You want to weigh in on the show. Eric Dutukevich is here, too. You can meet the Dutmeister.
Yeah.
The Dutman.
That's what these people are here for.
That's what they are here for.
it's not the cars.
Yeah. Dut, of course, the trophy's bigger than Dut, but I've got a trophy I won in Wildcat that's bigger than Dut.
Nice. I love it.
My perfect attendance award for second grade is bigger than Duke. Oh, man, we're on a roll now. You know, Duke, you told us we could have that lemonade. I went out and tried some lemonade. Now I've got all kinds of jokes. Thanks for the tip about the lemonade. Oh, man, we're having fun now. It's just a Friday night in the city. We're having a great time. But it's a lot of people starting to come in already. Just opened up at 5 o'clock. They're here until 8 o'clock. So, you know, look at the kids over there.
Oh, they're having a blast.
Oh, yeah, they're getting their photos taken with the flags. You can wave the checkered flag or the green flag, and they've got a backdrop behind it, so it makes it look like you're actually at the speedway. And and then Doug Bowles is here, too. How about that? President of IMS. He is. He just pulled up. He's the one driving the Corvette.
That's a sweet ride. That's not a bad ride at all to pull up to an event in.
Yep.
We got a little wave.
Yeah, so you could actually meet the president of the place. I'm sure he's got a pocket full of tickets. He's passing out, too.
But, we're going to get in trouble here.
Oh, yeah, our speakers are on. He can hear me. But come on by and say hi to us here at the Indy 500 Fan Fest at Electric Works, just off Broadway. We'd love to see you. And we've got some koozies that we'll pass out. Just for you stopping by our table here, we'll get you set up with one of our koozies. So, Tommy, I don't know if you heard, but the Mastodon's tearing it up out of the portal right now. Sidney Freeman. I'm trying to remember. Did you cover Sidney Freeman?
I don't think so.
She was playing at Central Noble. Went on for college, went to Ball State, then eventually transferred to Dayton. And today we learned that Sidney Freeman is coming home. She's got 1 year left, and I believe she'll be a grad transfer, and she's coming back to play for Maria Marcassano. Now, I'm sure you didn't cover Maria Marcassano. There's a gap there.
There's a gap, yeah.
There's a gap.
But, I missed that window.
But you were around in the early days of the Mastodons making that transition to Division I basketball.
Yes, yeah, they had just transitioned into D1 in those first couple years, and they weren't even in a conference yet at the very beginning. And so it was fun to watch that program just find itself in those early years, and then to see what it's turned into and the progress that they've had. It's been a very steady climb and continued progress, and it's not an easy job to try to run an athletic department.
It's gotten a lot more difficult lately.
I mean, it's a hard job. I would say, it was a hard job for the IPFWs of the worlds or the PFWs of the worlds. I still say IPFW because that was when I was covering it. For the PFWs of the world, it was hard pre all these new things. Now, with all the dynamics between NIL and the portal and all those things, it's gotten even more difficult. So it's a hard, hard job, and I think the athletic department overall has done a good job of making steady improvements over the years, for sure.
Tommy, tonight we're going to watch the NFL draft. We're not going to be hearing names from Fort Wayne, but a lot of drafts in the past we have.
Yeah.
Big Joe Tippmann went to the Jets last year. Of course, Jesse Bates tearing it up now in Atlanta after originally playing with Cincinnati, a Super Bowl champion, Drew Tranquil. But when you look at your involvement now with Parkview Sports Medicine and the EDGE program and training a lot of these athletes, you've got to have a little bit of pride being here in Fort Wayne, Fort Wayne is having such a big impact on the national stage in the National Football League.
Sure, yeah, I know we talked earlier about that I'm a Northern Virginia native and, pretty big city in the Washington, D.C. area, and I've told people in the, mostly friends from home, we have produced, we being Fort Wayne, have produced more professional athletes in all of the different sports over the 20 years that I've been here than that huge area with all that population in Northern Virginia did the entire time I was growing up, and even, through the time that I haven't been there. So, I mean, per capita, when you look through the baseball players that we produce, definitely the football players that you just went through, even some non-revenue sports and the different Olympic side of things, those types of
talking sports. About Beasley and Ball and those guys.
Yes, I mean it is an impressive resume of professional athletes that either professional or very high Division I talents that have come out of this region, and it's a tribute to fantastic coaches, a great culture, a lot of opportunities for our kids. When I look at the facility that I'm, blessed enough to get to work in every day, where PSM's headquartered at inside of the Sport One Parkview Fieldhouse, can't tell you how often it's like, man, these kids just don't know how good they have it. I feel like an old grumpy guy, but at the same time, it's like, man, we didn't have any of this kind of training stuff when we were growing up. So I think that just as a community, there's a great number of opportunities for kids to develop, but there's also a lot of talent to work with. I mean, you can have all the nice facilities and great coaches in the world. You have to have the kids that have the talent and have the work ethic to do it.
Yeah, and if you have that love of sport, you have the heart, the work ethic, you can make it happen. The resources are now available. And I think that's one of the things you were pointing out was that, we could just absolutely fall in love with a sport when we were kids.
Yep.
But there just weren't the resources. You didn't have the places to practice, to train. And now with, nutrition, sports psychology, like you were talking about earlier.
Sure.
Just all the programs that are available year-round to make yourself a better athlete. So if you're ready to and willing to commit
Yeah.
There's somebody that will be there to help guide you, train you, and prepare you for what the future can be. And Fort Wayne's done a terrific job of supporting our athletes in so many different sports. 46862, if you've got questions. I don't know if you've got the text line open, Adam, but tonight the Colts are going to be number 15 at this point, and we're talking about some of the Colts' options. I think the Colts have to be aggressive, and if they're not aggressive, but they're able to get one of their guys, I'll give Chris Ballard credit for being patient and still coming up with this guy. But sometimes patience doesn't always pay off. Now, no matter what, they're going to tell us they got their guy.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times are we going to, we got the guy. We really coveted this guy, and we're glad he ended up being there on the board when we made our pick. But the reality is, there's three or four guys that we can sit and look at right now before this draft happens, and we don't have to try to fit a square peg into a round hole. We know that there's receivers that could be immediate impact players with the Indianapolis Colts. You've got Adunze you like.
Yeah.
I'm not quite as high on, but I would be satisfied if the Colts at least go and make an effort to bring in a weapon opposite of Michael Pittman Jr. and help out the young quarterback and Anthony Richardson. You know, the other thing I thought about is when you look at where Chris Ballard has drafted skill position players, generally second round, third round, fourth round, and so you end up with a lot of guys that aren't first round talent at a skill position. You know, they've got a couple of linemen, they've got a couple of guys on the defensive side that they've taken, they've tried a couple of guys in the secondary with first round picks. Malik Hooker comes to mind, a guy that ended up being, I guess what you would classify as a bust, not with the Colts anymore. And so I'm like, let's make it this year the year that the Colts go out, get a skill position guy. Last year you got your quarterback. This year you can get your receiver and, you know, start to try to progress. But, you know, you mentioned that, you know, the holes that the Colts have, and it seems like, okay, they fell into Andrew Luck. That worked out perfectly. Yeah. But they weren't prepared for a succession plan, and now we're like 6 years, 7 years removed from Andrew Luck. Still don't really have a quarterback. We think Anthony Richardson might be the guy, but they finally addressed it. Yeah. It took a while. They tried to just put Band-Aids on, and every Band-Aid was 38 years old and had been on somebody else's body before they stuck it on themselves. You know, and so what do you get when you use a used Band-Aid, right? Exactly. You get a Band-Aid that falls off after a few minutes.
Yes.
That's what the Colts had at quarterback. Now they've got a guy that's young, athletic, strong arm. They believe in him 100%. If you really feel that way, get him the weapon to let him shine.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think that I'm not sure that I'm as sold on Richardson as maybe they are, as maybe some of the Colts fans are. I think it's some of it could be wishful thinking a little bit on it, because of all the reasons you just spelled out, that he is young, he is talented, he's got some athleticism. But if he's not a finished product, which I don't think he is, one way you can help him out is by getting some people around him to make him look a little bit better and just make it easier on
him. He's got the coach.
I don't know about you, but I believe
in Shane Steichen. I think that guy's got a brilliant offensive mind, and I think they've got a system and a coach that will give him every opportunity to be successful. But in the NFL, in pro sports in general, it's about the players.
Yeah, yep, I agree with that. I think that I like the coaching situation. I didn't like it before. I think they've made a good switch at that spot. But I look at, you know, this is a team that needs a corner. You could probably get in the draft at 15. You know, you can get your wide receiver in the second round if you need to. I mean, it all depends on what to get, and none of us know that. Is the package or 15th pick and your third round pick to get up into number eight? If that gets in the second round, a very deep corner class, so is it going to be a corner you really can plug in? Probably not at second, so you probably don't pick that. So who knows? You know.
I know yesterday we were talking about what would be the cost of going up and trading with the Bears at number nine. A lot of people think that pick might be for sale. might be a chance for teams to fight to get into the top 10. We now know the Rams are apparently trying to talk to teams and get into the top 10. The Colts might have an interest. We don't know who they're targeting, but we all feel like maybe this will be the year that Chris Ballard could do something different. But we've been told that the price for a number 9 pick would be your first round, number 15, a third round, and maybe even a second or third round next year. That's heavy.
That's steep.
But if you get a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver out of it, isn't that worth it? I mean, that's why you draft, to get those kind of... I mean, if you could get a guy like a Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison by moving up. And what did the Colts do when they got Peyton? They made sure they had the weapons around him.
I agree with that. And most teams have. You know, when they get the guy that they feel like is the true guy, then that's the very next thing that they go to do, is, if those pieces aren't in place already, is get the weapons. So, you know, if they feel like that's the missing piece and that they have the guy in the main spot, then, you know, maybe it is worth that. I think if you're gonna spend all that to get up there, why not spend a little bit more to get number 4 and get Harrison?
Yeah.
I mean, that guy.
I just don't know if anybody's willing to give up that pick.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they have to have 2 to tango.
If there's a price.
Like you say, you know what? I'm going to go get number 4, and I'm just going to get it.
Yeah,
I mean.
It's always a price.
Always a price. It might be very, very steep if you go there in number 4. I mean, number 9's expensive.
Yeah.
And number 4 is like twice as much. So it would be very difficult, I think, for the Colts, because Chris Ballard, it's not a step he usually takes. It's like baby steps first.
Yes, yeah.
Just go up, get in the top 10, you know, get one of the top 3 wide receivers. That's at least where I think they should go. You can let us know what you think on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Time for a quick break. We're going to come back here live at the Indy 500 Fan Fest, now in full force. You've got a DJ at the other end. I didn't mention about my line about getting jiggy with it.
Yeah.
But during our top of the hour break, the DJ here was playing Getting Jiggy With It, and then we come back and Baylen Brake, who's in the studio as our producer today, running things as a studio engineer, he actually played Getting Jiggy With It. I don't know if he heard it in the background and decided to play for us, but yeah, the DJ was playing Getting Jiggy With It. So
a little double jiggy.
Yeah, we had a party. You notice after I talked about Dude's height, he hasn't been around since.
You might have made him leave.
I think, you know, that sports psychologist you guys have over there? You might want to have him see Dude tomorrow.
I'm going to go ahead and say, the more times that you say Getting Jiggy With It, the less and less crowd we're going to have.
Oh, let me tell you, my younger days when I was spinning dudes, I had the club jumping.
Oh, here we go. Yikes.
Yeah, I had a day, Tommy. It's a good thing you didn't know me then.
Yeah.
But we'll come back. It's a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush on location. It's the Indy 500 Fan Fest here at Electric Works Broadway. Come on by. It's going on until 8 o'clock tonight. All types of things for you to do and check out, all associated with the greatest spectacle in racing. And we're going to have a chance to talk to Indy 500 President Doug Bowles coming up here in just a few. You know, we were pleased we got Tommy Schegler to stop by.
I know.
And
I just got booted off.
He just became the opening act. We thought we were going to a Tommy Schegler concert, and the Rolling Stones showed up. Oh, boy. But, hey, Tommy, we've had a good time today, man. It's been great to have you hang out and just kind of chill and go back and remember some of those great sports media days you had.
I know. It's been a lot of fun. It's good to dust off the old microphone every now and again.
And best of luck to you with everything going on with Parkview and Parkview Sports Medicine. Happy for you. Things have gone really well since you left the media business.
Yeah.
I know there's plenty of regrets having left that type of sports job, but... But no, seriously, we really appreciate the relationship we've got with you. Yeah. And, you know, I know you got so important that he got too busy for us on Thursdays. But I will say, Dude does a fantastic job.
Awesome. No, Dude loves doing it. He looks forward to that every week, does the research. And, it was getting to the point where it was pretty pathetic. I mean, he was basically on the show without being on the show. I was just regurgitating what he told me to say. So,
but full admission now, finally.
Yeah, exactly. I'm letting people in behind the curtain. This has been great, and it's been good to be down here today. But it's also been great to support the show and just watch what you've done with it over the years. I mean, it's been pretty cool to watch a local show be able to thrive the way that this one has over the course of a number of years now. I don't even know how many years.
It's 8 years.
Wow, 8 years, really? So yeah.
You gave me two tops.
I'm not sure that much, but that was when I went to Parkview. It was 8 years ago. So I'm gonna go ahead and say it's been my support that's really made the whole thing go. You've done a great job with it, and it's been fun to be here.
I know you've got an event you're going to head off to, but thanks again so much for stopping by. It's been a fun day.
Yeah, it has been. Thanks,
that
guys.
Is Tommy Shegler joining us here live and in person on the Sports Rush. We're going to take a quick break, and hopefully we'll sneak in a word with Doug Bowles before we get to 6 o'clock. It's the Sports Rush on location at Electric Works with the Indy 500 Fan Fest on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back. Live on location, we are Electric Works with the Indy 500 Fan Fest. Now, I think we're almost exactly a month away from the big day. We're joined by Indianapolis Motor Speedway President Doug Bowles. It is great to have you in town today. We appreciate it. Can I call you Doug?
That's exactly what you should. Mr. Bowles is my dad. I always tell people they want to say Mr. Bowles. That's my dad. I'm Doug.
I feel like I should be more formal
but
it is great to have you here in the city. You had a pretty good ride to get here, too.
Yeah, I got to drive up the Corvette pace car, which is a lot of fun to drive, so I definitely enjoyed that. But you're right. We're 31 days away from the 108th running of the Indy 500. It's coming right around the corner, which is pretty crazy. And we love coming to Fort Wayne. I get a chance to come up here. I'm on the Star Bank board, so Star Bank obviously is involved a lot around this community, and I love Fort Wayne. And so when we were kind of expanding our town halls, we thought we ought to do these fan fests, and this is the biggest one we have, even bigger than what we did in Indianapolis in terms of things that we brought, just as a way to say thank you to everybody in Fort Wayne, because we don't get to have the Indy 500 without the entire state adopting it, and Fort Wayne's one of our biggest markets.
I know it has been a ritual for so many people that have grown up in this community that every year, yep, Memorial Day weekend, they make that trek down 69 to get down to the race. How does the Speedway and IMS, how do you look at the growth of the race? Where's the new market? Who are you trying to kind of bring in?
Well, just like everybody else, we're focused on how do we get that next younger generation to get engaged in racing and in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But what makes us so special are those generational folks. I mean, people typically are introduced by a father or a grandfather, somebody in their family, maybe a college buddy, those kind of things. But it is something that becomes generational. And I've already been here tonight, and the number of people have told me how many times they've been in the race, how many times it becomes that. It's a badge of honor to say how many times you've been and then who you brought with you. So for us, it's really focusing on younger folks. How do we get younger folks involved? And at the same time, make sure we take care of the bread and butter, which are folks like me and others that have been for 40, 50, 60 years to the Indy 500.
And when people come down, it's a one-day event. It's a year-long process. What has it been like over the last year? Are there changes? What's the month going to be like down in Indianapolis?
So the question I get more than any other is, what do you do the rest of the year, right? It's the one day that everybody knows, but we've got about 140 days a year with something happening on track at the Speedway. We're obviously known for the Indy 500, but our other races, we've got track rentals, we've got stuff going on today actually at the Speedway. So we're busy. We've got 200 full-time employees. To put on the Indy 500 takes 10,400 people. So one of the biggest things for us is making sure you've got the staff and the people ready to go. And we're running a small business just like anything else, 1,000 acres of property there that we're taking care of. And, you know, we got Roger Penske, who bought the Speedway 4 years ago, and we've invested through Roger about $60 million in those 4 years just in the customer experience. And that's what we focus on, is how can we continue to make the place better. This year we've got some new video boards for fans. We've got some other new amenities. We've got a new concession provider to try and upgrade some of the food service we have. So we just continue to every year try and do something a little bit different. But don't offend what's so special. The tradition and history of the Speedway is what makes us who we are.
And are there changes that fans can look forward to this year?
Well, I think the things I'm looking forward to the most this year, I mentioned some video boards, especially if you buy a GA ticket and you sit in the infield, we put more video boards for those folks. The GA fan tends to be somebody that's just there having a good time with their buddies. Or it's a family who can't afford to buy 10 tickets or 6 tickets or 8 tickets in the grandstand. They can bring their 15 and under for free with a GA ticket. So we're making sure they have those video boards. On the NTT IndyCar Series side, the cars are a little bit lighter this year, so I think our speeds will be up, which will be exciting. We haven't broken a track record since 1996. We could, but we limit the way that the power the cars have and some of those things. But the cars being lighter with everything else rules-wise the same, we could see close to a track record. Definitely see speeds over 235, maybe 236 miles an hour.
Is that one of the questions you get asked most often about the actual technology, the racing, the cars, and how they've evolved over the past year?
Especially younger folks ask about the technology because they're maybe more interested in technology than the automobile. It used to be the other way around. So, and these race cars are basically rolling computers. So when you get a chance to interact with young folks and talk to them about the engineering, the STEM that goes in, you know, the science, technology, and engineering math that goes into these cars, those become the conversations you have. The car itself is relatively the same from last year. Next year, it will have a hybrid engine component to it, which it won't have for this year. But next year, kind of as you think about the cars we drive today are becoming more and more hybrid, this will make our IndyCar a little bit more hybrid. It'll give the drivers a little bit more horsepower. It's a little bit heavier, but it should be an interesting way to begin to replicate more of what you buy in the showroom through what you're seeing on the racetrack.
For you and your role, what's been the most challenging thing over the last year?
I think the most challenging thing for us is just continuing to keep up with a 115-year-old facility, right? It's 115 years old, and it takes an awful lot of care, and things break that you don't expect to break when they're older. So just keeping up with that is probably one. And then staff, just like all of us in this world, it's hard to find good people and keep good people. And so focusing on making sure we take care of our people and make sure that they stay, those are the two biggest challenges, I think.
Well, it should be a fun month. For fans coming out tonight, what can they expect?
The fun about this one is you know, we brought the Corvette pace car up here. We've got one of our trucks up here, which is just almost as cool as the Corvette pace car. We've got a flag stand, a replica of our flag stand, so people can get their photos taken. It's really cool to see kids trying to wave the green flag and the checkered flag. We've got the show car, which is an Indy car without an engine. And then we have the BorgWarner trophy, which is the trophy that has all the faces of the drivers on it. And it rarely gets out of Indianapolis. And so that's what, to me, that's the best part about these fan tours, is taking that 90-year-old trophy. It was built in 1936. And bringing it up here and let everybody see. It's got Joseph Newgarden, last year's winner's faces on it, all the other winners' face on it, you know, Sterling Silver, beautiful trophy. And it's one of those things when people get a chance to get up next to it and have their picture taken with it, it's pretty special. I still, to this day, I've been working at Speedway for 14 years now, and that trophy to me is just...
It gave me chills.
It's amazing.
It did. It gave me chills. It's like the Stanley Cup, the BorgWarner trophy. There's only one of those.
We took it to Capitol Hill a couple of years ago and took it to a lot of the Indiana delegation, so our senators and our congressmen, and as you're rolling it through the halls of the Capitol, the number of people that want to stop and get their picture taken with it and say, "What is it?" Right? It's just so architecturally. I mean, just the way it's just a beautiful piece of Art Deco art. So if you even if just into the art side of it, it's a cool thing to see.
Well, you're the envy of so many, not just because of your role with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, but the fact that how many people have a golf course at the office.
And it's funny. I don't play. What's even worse? So I've just never played in my life, and so obviously I understand the management of a golf business now. But so my kids have continued to tell me, you just need to go out in the evening when no one's around and just pick some clubs up. But I'm 57. I'm not going to pick up golf. And for me, it's awesome to have, and it's really fun to see people play. But for me, it's past me.
For a guy that's in your neighborhood, at least age-wise, how do you get that energy? Where does that energy... Have you always had that kind of energy?
I have, but...
Or is there a drink that I can buy?
There's a lot of coffee. There's definitely a lot of coffee involved. But it's... I know, you're the same, right? When you get to do what you love, it's a lot easier to be really passionate about it. And when I get to hear the stories from fans of why they love the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, that's what feeds me. And so even already today, hearing the stories of people, how they fell in love with the Speedway, how many times they've been, when they brought their kids, I mean, that's really what gets me going, and it keeps me going.
Well, I know one of the things you want to do is visit with the people that have made the trip out here, and so we'll let you do that.
But thanks for being out here.
Have a great month.
And what a cool place Electric Works is.
Yeah, isn't this?
This is really cool.
Isn't this?
And the sunshine helps.
You know, every couple of years you come back here and visit our city, you're going to see something something new. We've just had tremendous growth.
Well, I get up here, like I said, I'm up here probably, if not once a month, once every other month, and I love the city and I love the support the city gives the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Awesome meeting you. Thanks, appreciate the time. So yep. That is IMS President Doug Bowles joining us here at Electric Works as it's the Indy 500 Fan Fest, and of course, some of the fans. Right now, we've got the kids that are waving the flags over there on that flag stand that Doug Bowles was talking about.
Yeah.
Really cool stuff here.
Awesome. That was really cool interview there, Brett.
Always fun to talk to somebody. You know, you don't. Honestly, I did not know he was going to be here.
Absolutely.
We just all of a sudden he pulls up in the Corvette right next to us, and it's like, wait a minute, I know who's driving that car. yeah, it's an eye catcher to see that Corvette. Dude, did he leave the keys in it? By the way, you might want to check and see. But it's fantastic. We appreciate Doug Bowles for taking his time to talk to us this afternoon. So tonight, the NFL draft, and the Colts number 15. Is this the year Chris Ballard gets aggressive, moves up to take a impact player? And, you know, I talked about the years of being a coward on draft night have to end. You can't take the cowardly approach, which is, get quantity, we'll find quality once we get him into camp. No, it's, you've got to know who your player is. You've got to have the kahunas to go up and get that guy and put your reputation on the line with an impact player. And if you make a mistake, okay, you make a mistake. And you might lose your job over making that mistake. But the reality is, all you're going to be is mediocre if you continue to just build up mediocre draft picks. You've got to eventually go up and get a guy. He believes so much in Anthony Richardson, and if you really believe that that was the right pick last year, then the right pick this year should be a wide receiver to get on the other side from Michael Pittman. So you've got the vertical threat. It plays to the skill set that Anthony Richardson has. Why did you like Anthony Richardson? Great athlete. He can run the football, powerful guy, and has a strong arm. There's no vertical threat if you don't have a receiver that can go downfield and catch it. And Alec Pierce is not that guy. Don't try to convince us that Alec Pierce is that guy. I know you drafted him, Chris, but eventually the fans are going to wise up that that's not the guy we thought he was going to be. Right now, you need the wide receiver. Go get one. That's what I'm hoping I see tonight at the draft.
Absolutely, me too. I'd like to see you got to get some weapons at some point. You got to get some of these stars at some point. Otherwise, like you said, you're just going to be mired in mediocrity.
So what do you expect? Let us know on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. We take a timeout. We're going to come back. We'll wrap it up here at Electric Works for the Indy 500 Fan Fest, broadcasting up until 6 o'clock with the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Really cool out here at Electric Works. Fantastic place. Broadway, we are here until, what, 5 more minutes?
Yeah, okay. 4 or 5.
And then Caleb Hatch is going to be hanging around here at our tent. And in fact, when you come in off Broadway here on Dynamo Alley, we're like the first thing you're going to see is us, a Corvette pace car, and the Chevy truck. That's all part of the IMS. So it's pretty cool. Now, of course, we've got a race car right here in the middle of the lane. Doug Bowles greeting fans as they come in, the IMS president. And you've got the flag station right across from us, the flag stand where you can take photos. And it actually looks, Adam, we posted that, right?
We sure did.
We posted that on our X page, our Twitter page. With was that on at 1380 The Fan with
me? You
bet.
Yep. Yeah,
standing at the top of the flag stand.
And you were actually there, though. I mean, these people, we'll be honest, they're doing a little bit of a photo op. But
well, now, come on, let's be honest. If you want to come out and look like I did in that picture, because if that picture could fool you, then you should come out and get your photo.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it'll make it look like you actually, on a race day, were waving the flag at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
You did a great job.
It's been a lot of fun out here.
Oh yeah,
and a lot of the folks right now kind of cruising around, checking out all the booths and displays and the BorgWarner Trophy. Did you go down and take a look at it?
I did. I told you it was bigger in person than I expected it to be.
Yeah, they've got it on display. You can get a photo op. There's no touching.
No touching. No, you don't. You get no.
But you can get a photo with the BorgWarner Trophy right here. at Indy 500 Fan Fest, and we certainly appreciate their invite to have us out here and be able to broadcast the show. It does feel a little warmer right now than it did when we started, actually.
Yeah, I think we kind of migrated into the sun here a little bit.
That's what it is. The sun is tilting in the sky in a direction that's favorable for us, because
yeah.
we were in the shade, and now we're actually like half in the sun. But coming up tomorrow, we're going to have everything to say about Chris Ballard's decision what he does tonight.
Oh, man, I'm ready. I'm ready to just dissect every pick.
I think, okay, up, down, or stay put and draft.
I think he's going to stay put.
I think he's going to stay put.
Yeah.
Despite as much as I have asked for Chris Ballard to go up to number 9. But and I don't know that he's going to get one of the guys I really want him to have, because my hope would be Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right.
somehow falls.
Mm.
He's not going to.
No.
I just don't see it happening. But I think Malik Nabers is right there, and I think from a professional standpoint, they're going to be 1A, 1B. Roma Dunze, I think there's going to be some question marks. I think he's got the raw talent,
mm-hmm.
but did he have inflated numbers because of the conference that he played in the Pac-12? We talked about playing with Penix and playing in a Pac-12, which had no secondary.
Right.
See how many corners and safeties get drafted out of the Pac-12 tonight,
yeah.
especially early in this draft. So the bottom line, I think he'll stay put. I think there is a chance Brock Bowers might be there. But I'm very interested in what the Rams are going to do.
Right.
Are they going to get up into that top 10? And what is the player that they so covet that they want to go up and get if it's not a quarterback? Is it Brock Bowers?
It might be, but it could be one of those wide receivers that you mentioned as well.
They've got a couple of good wide receivers, but maybe they just believe in one enough to...
But yeah, a tight end does fit better, doesn't it?
I would think. All right, we've got a big thank you to Baylen Brake back in the studio, doing a great job producing the show today.
Absolutely. Thanks to Baylen.
Maybe Baylen wants to come back tomorrow and just... We'll be back in the studio tomorrow. Hope you join us then. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day on this Thursday. Tin Caps Baseball comes up later tonight from Parkview Field. For Adam Lundy, Tommy Schegler, I'm Brett Rump. This has been the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.